Okay, so I'm starting from, this is Hebrews 6, verse 1. It says, therefore, leaving the discussion of elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith, and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. For the earth, which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated, receives blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. Verse 9 says, but beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those through faith and patience inherit the promises. 13 says, for when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. 19 says, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the present behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. So, in summary, what do you think this scripture is pointing at or talking about?
It's talking about not as, you know, as Christians, continuously to bearing fruit, right? And bearing fruit and not being discouraged. So, because like when you read the verse 4, where it says, "For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened, right, and have tasted, and have tasted the heavenly gift, and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit," and it says, "And have tasted the good word of God, and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again." To repentance. And so if we have been once enlightened, right, if we have come to know the word of God, and where it says like taste, what come to mind was when, you know, I believe the psalmist says like taste and see that the Lord is good, and that even if we come to Christ, right, or and where it says that we're once enlightened, right, I assume that maybe if, you know, for some believers, they've had, you know, encounters with God, right? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, they've received a revelation, and following that revelation should bring about transformation. So I think it's saying that if you've had that, you know, if you've tasted and you have been enlightened, it's like impossible for you to go back to your old ways, because with enlightenment and with revelation brings about transformation in one's life.
Okay. You're on the right track, you're on point. It like you said, it's basically talking about the need for one to continually be fruitful, like you said, right? To continue to progress, to continue to mature and not become sluggish, right? Or slow in our faith walk, being steadfast. You know, like you said later in the scripture, you know, be with the same diligence as when we first came to know Christ, or taste of the goodness of Christ, with assurance that God is faithful, you know, and that he's not unrighteous or unjust to forget our works, right? But this need for maturing, right, it actually started from the previous verse, because whenever you see, even from the beginning of the scripture, whenever you see therefore, so, it's always it's good to just check previous verses as well of the previous chapter, right? Maybe just the last, if you have the time, you can read the whole thing, but usually maybe just the last few verses of the previous chapter. So like I said, the need talks about the need and the emphasis of maturing and progressing, and it's stated from the last few verses of chapter 5, you know, where the writer he made known his desire to share more revelations with the intended recipient of this letter, right? He wanted to share more revelations with them, but they were dull. It says they are dull of hearing due to their immaturity in their walk, right? And them remaining as babes. So hence, it was difficult for him to communicate the things that he really wanted to share, and had to explain more things to them. Remember, I told you that one of the ways to stretch, right? Once you stretch in your spirit man, you understand, you're able to grasp more. And one of the ways is what, you know, I've been preaching since, which is prayer, right? As you pray more, you engage with God more, right? Your spirit man enlarges. But that process also brings you to a place of encountering the Word of God. You understand? Doing the Word of God, practicing the Word of God. As you are doing these things, right, you are gaining experience. Does that make sense? You are having an experiential knowledge with God, and anyone who goes through an experiential knowledge with God cannot remain the same. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So there is that commitment to personal growth. So he goes on to mention that they ought to be even teachers by now, but that they still need someone to teach them again, right? The first principles of the oracles of God, just like what he mentioned in the beginning of the chapter 6. You know, he says, therefore, let us leave the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, isn't it? And let us go into perfection. So he says, not laying again the foundations of repentance, of from dead works, and from faith toward God. Of course, we've talked about faith here a lot of times, isn't it? So, so he begins to mention some things, some discussions, or some doctrines, or some topics that, to him, this is like, these are the elementary principles of Christ, right? But you find out that many of us don't even know some of these things. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but then, so he goes on to, you know, tell them that they ought to be teachers, and that, you know, but they are still needing milk, and those who feed on milk cannot handle solid food, because milk is for those who are babes, who do not know how to differentiate between right and wrong. Just like even in the physical, right, the one who still feeds on milk is assumed to be a baby, and they cannot handle the serious things of life, so they make decisions from it. You understand that kind of thing. So also spiritually. So who are not able to differentiate between right and wrong? Basically, those who are unskilled and inexperienced in the word of righteousness. But solid food, he now begins to reveal that solid food are for those who are full of age, or who are of full age. That is those who have progressed, who have matured and are still maturing, or have matured in their walk of faith. Those who, by reason of use of what? Reason of the use of their spiritual senses, or by reason of much practice. So personal commitment to growth and maturity in their walk with God, by different spiritual means, which I mentioned earlier, prayer, study of the word of God, right? Practice, obedience, more. It says, these have their senses exercised. Because prayer, like I said, the more you stretch yourself in prayer, isn't it? The more you grow. Isn't it? The more you grow. And I've shared with us the many, many benefits of stretching in the place of prayer. You understand? If you pray consistently, it opens you up even to the prophetic, right? You see things that you didn't pray for. Yes, God needs to show you things. You have more insight in certain things. You know, you, yeah, many things, many many benefits. You can't discuss it. Same thing when you begin to do the word of God, practice it, obedience, you know, walk with God present, all these things, you are, what you are doing is you are exercising your spiritual senses. You understand? You are engaging God, you are exploring, you are trying to, okay, you know, now move, okay, Lord, I want to begin to hear you. You understand? So begin to practice. Begin to practice. And there's nothing that you begin to practice that maybe at the beginning stages you might not make some mistakes. You understand? Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But as you progress, as you grow, you learn from your mistakes, and then you continue to grow and mature to the point where you now gain mastery in whatever that thing is. Isn't it? So,
yeah.
So he shares again the need to move on. This is where we now come to our scripture. So they need to move on from all these elementary principles of Christ and go on to deeper matters of perfection and all the things that, you know, he mentioned about repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. That's one topic. You understand? Repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. That's one. Again, that's not my emphasis here, but maybe another time, right? We'll talk about what that actually means. We'll talk about what that means. Then the next thing he talks about is the doctrines of baptisms. Also, God helping us, we'll talk about that another time. Laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. He then goes on to explain from verses 4 to, will I say to verse 8, but starting from 4 to 6, which is the passage or the part of the passage that you mentioned, right? Where it says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted, you know, the heavenly gift. So he wants to mention the dangers of coming to the enlightenment of God, you know, as he said, tasting, having a taste of the heavenly gift or the heavenly realm, which is like a taste of heaven's beauty, right? Which you put it in the words of, they've had encounters, spiritual encounters, right? So they've tasted of the beauty, the peace, the joy, the treasures, the hope, and all that pertains to the world that is to come. They have also become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted of the goodness of the Word of God. That is, they've tasted the goodness of God's Word, right? They've tried it and for them and many times, and then the power is to come. They've actually experienced the power of God. If they reach this point, right? It is, it says, and for any reason. Because when it says that if they fall away, falling away, you know, this is the scripture that a lot of people might not like to come here, right? Because it's like, oh, it's just to understand it very well. It's like, for some people, it's like, oh, so you can lose your salvation, right? And what word do I use? The thing of losing one's salvation is not that. So the way to understand it is not that. It's not like it's God that will just, it's not like it's God that will take it, right? So,
yeah.
It says, if they fall away, time will not permit me to, that word, I think I've forgotten the Hebrew word for it. I think it's, move, is it move karut? I need to. It means basically it's like a gradual. Does that make sense? A gradual withdrawal from the things of God, right? From the.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just. It doesn't just happen overnight. It's something that. It starts with unbelief. You understand? It starts with withdrawal. But basically, it's like the person withdraws and abandons or discontinues their walk or abandons their faith. Does that make sense? That's when you say the person lost their salvation. Does that make sense? It's not like it's God that will take it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yes, because
no. God is already done. God never takes it away.
God has already. So, but people can decide to leave.
Yeah.
Yes, people can decide to leave. So, if for any reason this person has gotten this and they draw back or they fall away. That's why if you read Hebrews, is it 10? There's somewhere it says that we should not forsake the let us not neglect our faith, right? For in it there is a great recompense, as in there is a great reward if we continue. Does that make sense? If we continue, it says that. He now goes on to say, this is the Lord saying, but my soul will have no pleasure. But to the one who draws back, my soul will have no pleasure. Do you understand? So it's just re-emphasizing that need that there is no looking back. Does that make sense? So, if for any reason they draw back, they fall away, they discontinue their work or their pursuit and or progress, that is, they abandon their faith, how it will not be possible for this one, right, to be renewed or to renew such a person again to repentance? He now reveals, seeing that by their drawback or by their rejection, or by their abandoning of the faith, it's like they are crucifying Christ again and putting him to an open shame. Because at this point, that's why you see that, you know, that's why you see that for angels, there's nothing like repentance. Because they've tasted, do you understand? They've tasted of the heavenly realm. That's their habitat. Does that make sense? There's, what other thing can be there to save such a being? Do you understand? If they fall away. Does that make sense? They are right there before God. They are right there. Does that make sense? It's just like... It's just like, as I'm saying it, I'm remembering what we talked about. I don't know if I want to mention it here, but I'll just mention it. You know, remember we talked about Judas?
Yeah.
Ha. So Judas was at proximity, do you understand? With Christ. Even with that proximity, he didn't change him. Does that make sense? He didn't do anything. So, but that's not my emphasis. So, as in the kingdom of God, right, the only way to remain in God is to continue in Him. Does that make sense? The only way to remain
in
God is to continue in Him, progressing in Him. Like you said in the beginning, keep bearing fruit, which you see, you see where he now says this thing about bearing fruit. in verse 7 to 8, right? You understand what verse 7 to 8 was saying, isn't it? Do you understand it?
Mm-hmm.
It says, for the earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated, it receives a blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. So what is saying that this in this illustration, right, the earth there represents mm-hmm. us, right? And then
mm-hmm.
since we drinks in the rain, that rain is God's investment upon the earth. And then the reason why God invests rain upon the earth is not just to make ground wet, isn't it? It's so that mm-hmm. it can what? Bring up what? Fruit. Herbs. It can bear herbs useful for what? Man or, you know, the creatures of the earth, you understand? To benefit from it. Does that make sense? So.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so it says, but if it bears thorns and briars, that is, it doesn't produce it produces something else, right? Apart from mm-hmm. what it's going to produce, for which the rain was poured upon the earth for. It says it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be gone. So you see him. You see him mentioning these things, and when I was studying this, I also remembered, do you know that scripture that says, he who puts his hand to the plow and looks back mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. is not fit for the kingdom, isn't it? You know that scripture? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we just see that in different places in scripture, we see that discouragement of looking back, right? In anything that has to do with
God.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We also see that illustration and antitype in the story of Lot's wife.
Yeah.
Yeah. So salvation came unto the house of Lot, right? When God wanted to mm-hmm. destroy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now,
mm-hmm.
was running. She what? She looked back.
She looked back.
Turned into a what? Pillar of salt. Because her heart was still clean. So there are different reasons why a person will look back. But at the heart of it is unbelief. At the root of it.
Unbelief.
Mm-hmm. So like I said, 7 and 7 to 8 is more about the need, everything, but 7 to 8 now gives that illustration about the need for fruitfulness in the kingdom of God, as God requires and desires us to be fruitful, seeing that he has invested heavily in us, right? His salvation is great. This also emphasizes the purpose of salvation. So there is a purpose, there is a reason why God chose you, right? Chose me
mm-hmm.
or anybody who is saved to be saved. There is a purpose. It's not for us to just receive it, right? And just
mm-hmm.
chill. Right? Just chill.
Yeah.
And for us to grow, there's that responsibility to grow, the responsibility to move forward, is the responsibility to mature, to come into the fullness of what God or who God wants you to be or wants me to be. Why? Because through your growth, through your progressing, you become the planting of the Lord, right? And as you bear fruit, others too. Can get glory from your life, from my life, right? and others too can eat from that fruit. And as they eat, you understand, that's how they too, because I've said it before, you came into salvation through another person's witness.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it? So, there is a purpose for why God chose, like I said, chose you and I for salvation. It is an investment of God so that we can continue and progress and mature in our faith walk, so that many more also, through God's investment in our lives, can also come into this saving knowledge, life, light, and enlightenment. Just like a farmer, right? Plants one seed, and from that one seed, a tree grows. The reason why that tree grows is so that it's expecting that the tree will what? Bear fruit. And as it bears fruit, is so that he can what? Expand his enterprise. And plant more trees. Yes. So, then from verse 9, you see where he says, but beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. So he's saying, even though I'm speaking in this way, right? I know that we're not talking about you guys. You understand? We are confident of you guys. So from verse 9, he shares his confidence of better things or better outcomes concerning his intended listeners and readers pertaining to the topic of salvation, even though he was speaking, you know, of the other side of the dangers of not progressing. So he encourages them with a sure word and the truth about God when he said that the reason why he says, for God is not unjust. If you read the King James, it says, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which, you know, you have shown, or which you are showing toward his name, isn't it? By, first of all, growing, progressing in him for the purpose of continually ministering to and serving the saints, that is God's people, all for the glory of God's name. And then that we should continue to show this same diligence, this same, you know, this same passion, passionately advancing, progressing all the way through in full assurance of a hope, in full assurance of the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. And I'll talk a little bit about this hope, right? But let me talk about it. It will take me to another scripture, but I just want to briefly touch it, come back here. So even to the very end, that we do not become sluggish, talks about not becoming sluggish. You know, another word, if you read other translations, you see the word lazy or complacent. You can add it complacent. This, but to imitate and follow the footsteps of those who, through strong faith and patience, that patience there is patient endurance, they inherit the promise. Because this work requires strong faith, right? And then also patience, but not just patience, but patient endurance. So let me talk about this book that he's talking about, because he talks about the hope in verse, from verse 11, right? It says, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now, when he says this hope, I think it's tied to verse 10 where it says, understanding this truth, that God is not what? Unjust. God is not what? Unrighteous. Unjust. To forget your work and labor of love, which, you know, which people show towards his name, which people show in ministering to the saints, in ministering to God's people, you know, the sacrifices, all the things, you understand? Sometimes it might look like that, you know.
Yeah.
But God is not mocked. Right? That scripture says, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows,
yeah,
what?
He shall reap.
It's just a matter of time, right? It's a matter of time. Because it says, as the earth remains, right? Seed time and harvest shall not what? Cease. There is a time for planting, sowing, and there is a time for what? Reaping, harvest. So it's understanding that. Now let me quickly touch on this hope that is about. I'll be very quick with that. If we go to Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 5, 1 to 5. Are we there?
Yeah, Romans 5, 1 to 5, yeah.
5. So it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. He says, and not only that, so before I go to the next thing, right? Mm-hmm. What he's saying here is, therefore, having been justified, is made guiltless, right? Made guiltless. How were we made guiltless? By faith, through the grace of God, isn't it? It says we have been saved by grace. So, like I've said here many times, grace is the platform for which faith can be exercised. Without grace, faith does not have a platform, right? To be exercised. Faith is called faith, foundation of God's grace. And God's grace in this topic of salvation is the word that he, is the word of faith that he sends. You know, it says faith comes by hearing, right? Hearing the word of God.
Yes.
Faith comes by hearing. So that word of God that we hear that enables us to respond in faith, that word of God is the grace of God. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's without grace, we can't do anything for God. You understand? If God does not stretch forth his hand first, you understand, to help us, we can't do anything for him. So once he sends grace, we respond in what? Respond by faith. Yes. Faith is response to what God, you understand, is saying. So he says, therefore, we have been justified, made guiltless by faith. And this produced, what is the one thing that, you know, salvation brought to us? Righteousness, right? Righteousness in God by faith, isn't it? That's what we operate in now. Righteousness by faith. So, scripture says that the work of righteousness is peace. So, whenever we come into righteousness with God, right? That it produces peace. Does that make sense? So because of this, it says we have peace with God. I'm trying to move fast in this place. But you get this passage, right? What I'm explaining. Yeah. So we have peace with God because of we have been justified by faith through our Lord Jesus Christ. Also, through our Lord Jesus Christ, we have access by faith also, right? The scripture says that the just shall live by faith. That is, just shall live from one level of faith to another level of faith. Does that make sense? One level of faith brought you in, but you continue to live by faith. You understand? another level of faith will continue to keep you, isn't it? Does that make sense? Is it clear?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. So, it says, through whom? Through the Lord Jesus, we also have access by faith into the grace in which we stand. So the access to the grace of God, even to more grace of God, is also by faith, right? And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. But it now goes on to say, we do not just hope in the glory of rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God. He says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Why? He says tribulations, knowing, having the understanding. Does that make sense? Because sometimes when we don't understand our trials, we misinterpret our circumstances. You understand? Misinterpret circumstances, yes. And misinterpreting circumstances can lead to many things. A person can walk in the flesh, understand? A person can get angry, get too many things, wrong things, if we don't understand. So, but this scripture says, we glory also in tribulations. Why? Because of a knowledge. A knowledge that what? Tribulation produces what? What the next thing it says? Produces what?
Perseverance.
So what is to persevere? To continue even in the midst of what? Opposition, right? Or challenge. Yes. So it produces that ability to continue. Does that make sense? It is in that place of that trial that you build that capacity. So having that understanding, the scripture, James 1, comes to mind, where it says, count it all joy when you go through what? Diverse trials and tribulation, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And when patience completes its full work, you become perfect, lacking nothing. Right? So, and it now says, and perseverance, what? Character. This character is you've persevered. There's now this kind of this thing it does to you, right? It molds you, it shapes you into this person that you now have an understanding. So whenever you see challenges, you are not shaking. Maybe the first time that you encountered the challenge, right? You panicked and God, where are you? Another kind of thing. So, but as you persevere, as you persevere, produces character. You can have many things, gifts, power, anointing, this, but if you don't have character, if a person does not have character, they will not last. You agree?
Yeah, I agree.
They won't last. Character is what molds you. So, Ina says, and then this character, what? Hope. Do you see? Okay, Ina says hope, right? Verse 5 now says, now, hope. Which hope? This hope that all of this has produced, right? This hope does not what? Disappoint. Do you see that? Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So I came here just to describe this hope. It's a hope that is formed in the furnace. Do you understand? It's not a hope. Not a kite hope. Right? Not a hope that is like a balloon that can be popped. You understand? It's a hope that has been brought, baked, and formed in the furnace of what? Tribulation, from tribulation, perseverance, character, and then this hope. At this point, this hope is a secure hope, because this hope now, at this point, the person has gone through many things, and all through these things, they've made the Lord their trust. Does that make sense? So they didn't back down. They didn't draw back. Are you seeing it now? They didn't. No matter what happened, right? They trusted God. Do you know that scripture in Hebrews 11 that says Abraham believed upon hope? So I've forgotten how he says it. Let me look for it. Hebrews 11, verse 8. Promise. Let me look for that scripture. Is it Hebrews? Faith Abraham, when he was tested, Isaac. Let me see. Okay, maybe it's not. Is it here? I don't know if it's in this. Hebrews 11. Give me a sec. Let me look for that scripture.
Yeah, no worries.
Okay, it's Romans 4. Romans 4. Romans 4, verse 18. Romans 4, verse 18. But if you read from 16, just for context purposes, it says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. 17, as it is written, in quote, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him, that is God, whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. We're talking about Abraham now, right? Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed. Right? So Abraham believed. In other words, against all hope, Abraham still hoped and believed. Does that make sense? That kind of hope is what that scripture is talking about, the way it's produced. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
So that kind of hope is only someone who has had experiences with God, you understand? And has a knowledge and an understanding with God that can hope against hope. Even when a situation is so hopeless, right? They've come to the point where the Lord himself is their hope. So, because the Lord himself is their hope, to them, no situation is ever hopeless. Does that make sense? Because their hope is not...
Yeah.
Yes. The Lord is forever. Does that make sense? Uh-huh. The Lord is forever. So,
yes.
Because their hope is in the one who is forever and can never die, can never, you know, that means their hope, there's no situation that they can ever be in that they can lose hope. Make sense?
Yeah.
So I just wanted to come here, and the scripture now reveals why. It says, because the love of God, they've come to the place where they are abiding in the love of God. Do you see that? And that love has been poured out in our hearts by who? by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So let me go back to our scripture, Hebrews 6. I just wanted to come here to explain that about that hope, right? So let me ask, why do you think the writer here had to mention verse 10? Hebrews 6. Why do you think he had to mention when it says, God is not unjust to forget your work and labor?
Because I would say, like, you know, because, like, sometimes maybe in, like, the trials or maybe the things that we go through, we might feel as though that, you know, God is not helping instantly in that moment because he has forgotten about us. But the writer reassures us that, you know, for God is not unjust to forget. So he remembers everything that we have done for him. And he says, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown towards his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and to minister. Yeah, it's to reassure us that God hasn't forgotten about us. It would be unjust for God to forget. God never forgets. He always remembers. Regardless of the things we go through, God always remembers.
Yeah. Yes. So, it's just that key phrase. God is not unjust. One of the names of God is merciful and just. You understand? That's one of those. That's one of his titles. So God is never unjust. King James will say God is not unrighteous. And we know that we serve a righteous God, right? He's the King of righteousness. Yes. So, like you said, you are right on point. I believe the reason why the writer gives this encouragement is because, again, it's also because of what he mentioned, right? About those who have tasted the enlightenment of God, right? Because the most common reason why a person who have tasted of the enlightenment of God and all the goodness of God and all the things that he mentioned there, the only reason why a person would draw back in unbelief or abandon his or her faith would be because they conclude, maybe because of a situation, right? Or circumstances or certain things, conclude or feel, or it would seem that God is not faithful. For God has forgotten. For God does not reward. Does that make sense? It would seem that way. Like you said, maybe because it hasn't come true in the time that we want him to come through. You understand? Or come immediately. Yes. So that's why, in Hebrews 11, 6 to 7, one of the criteria for faith that he mentions there. First of all, it says that without faith, it is impossible to what? Please God.
Please God.
Then he now goes on to say, for he that comes to God must, two criteria. First, they must believe that he is. That is, he is eternal. He is everything. He exists, right? But he is. He is there. It's like God saying, I am. You understand? If you put anything after that, it's like, it's just a dimension of God. So there's nothing to, there's no word to describe God. So he just says, I am, right? So it's like, we say, speaking in third place, saying he is, right? They must believe that he is. And then that he is a what? Rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek him. So that Hebrews 11 is 6 to 7 is very important to internalize in our hearts and for it to be deeply rooted at the very core of our being. So that no matter what is happening, you understand, we always judge the Lord what? Faithful. Oh God, you are faithful. Doesn't matter, isn't it? Doesn't matter what. Doesn't matter what times. God is what? Faithful. That's one of his name. Faithful and true. That's his name. According to Revelation 19. So, we internalize this truth. It's an eternal truth. God is a what? A rewarder. Also, God is not unrighteous, right? God is not unjust. So he goes on to give the example of God's promise to Abraham, how, you know, the Lord swore by himself, seeing that there's no one greater to swear by, because when a person wants to swear, they swear by someone or a higher authority. Yes, a higher power. Mm-hmm. So, but seeing there is God swore, you know, by himself, saying surely, blessing, that he will bless Abraham, right? Two things. The scripture says two immutable things. First is that God, in blessing, he will bless Abraham, and in multiplying, he will multiply Abraham. So verse 15 now says, and so, this was Abraham's response to what God said, right? He said, and so, verse 15, after he had what
patiently what? Endured.
So remember I said that we walk in strength, faith, and what? Patient endurance. So after that, he what? Mm-hmm. The promise. For it is impossible, another eternal truth. For it is impossible for God to what? To lie. God is not a man that he should lie, right?
Mm-hmm.
So with these truths, and even Abraham's example, we have a strong encouragement, a strong consolation, as the scripture puts it. A strong consolation, an encouragement. Who are the we? We who have what? Decided to follow Jesus truly, right? And taking refuge in him to seize and lay hold of this hope. Remember that hope, right? Of the hope.
Mm-hmm.
Is set before us, the unshakable hope, the hope that is rooted in God. In fact, the writer now even goes on to tell us where this hope is rooted in. He says this hope, this is the way he puts it, verse 19, this hope we have as an anchor for the soul. Why is it an anchor for the soul? Because, again, the soul can become what? Agitated.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yes. The soul can become unstable. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the soul is made of the mind, our will, our emotions, our thoughts. So these are the things that can begin to, when things are good, what's going on? What's going on? Too much noise, too much attitude. So this hope is an anchor. An anchor is something that, you know, that fastens something to the ground, right? So that it doesn't move.
Mm-hmm.
An anchor for our souls. Both sure. That is, the hope is sure and what? Steadfast. Now he now tells us that, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the foreigner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. So he's telling you that this hope has traveled. It's a hope that has gone beyond the realms of time. Does that make sense? It transcends beyond time. It is rooted behind the veil. Behind the veil is where the Father dwells. Does that make sense? It's the Holy of Holies.
Mm-hmm.
That's where this hope has traveled, and that's where this hope is rooted in. Even to the place where Jesus has entered for us, our high priest. So anything that makes it to that place, has entered the corridor, the chambers of eternity. That means that hope cannot what? Die. Makes sense? So it is a sure and secure hope. A hope that is rooted in the very presence of God, where the Lord dwells. So is in summary, you know, like you mentioned, in summary, is an encouragement. First of all, the need, it reveals to us the need, if I should summarize everything, it reveals to us the need to progress, to continue to go forward, to continue to move forward, right? To continue to grow, to continue to mature, to continue to progress. Because there are many things in life that want to make you stop. Do you understand? Make you halt. Yes, make you just, you know what? Forgive me, I'm always using your line to say it is what it is. many things, trust me, across life, you know, not just from your side, it can be betrayals, right? Circumstances, you know, many things, disappointments, expectations that, you know, lingered hope, just hope deferred. You know, the Bible says hope deferred makes the heart, how does it say? It makes the heart weary. Is it weary?
Yeah, weary. Yeah, I think so. Let me look it up.
So, deferred hope, you know, circumstances, trials, hardship, many things. Many things, many things that everything is trying to make you what? Stop or slow down or be sluggish or not pursue with the same. So we're encouraged to move forward with the same diligence, having that assurance that God is what? Faithful. God is not right to forget. So it's easy. For me, when I came across, it was a very big encouragement for me, right? So I thought to share it with us. So in the kingdom of God, the only way to remain in God is to what? Continue in Him. Keep going forward, keep moving forward, keep growing, keep seeking His faith. No one pray, I always pray to God. I say, Lord, as long as you never give up on me, I will never give up on you. Right? I say, please don't give up on me. Because me, I will never give up on you. You understand? So, because, like I said, circumstances, some situations that, especially those that have lingered, right? Imagine going through a situation for 20 years.
Yeah.
Aha. That's a long time.
Yeah.
A long time. So imagine someone like Abraham, 25 years, right? God already said something. It took 25 years. So the question is, you know, how many people can wait and even against all hope, still hope? Yeah. I believe that's why Jesus said in Luke 18 that when the Son of Man comes, will he still find faith in the earth? You understand? Because many people would have come to the point, we've been hearing this Jesus is coming. So they will, do you understand? laugh. And they say, man, let's enjoy life more. You see that? Let's just try. That state is a very just say maybe you see the more you follow one thing I'm coming to understand is the more you progress in God, right? The more you have to really hold on to Him. Does that make sense? Because as you grow in God, God, there are certain things that as you grow in God, you, how do I put this now? There are certain things that He, let me leave it, because I know what I want to say, but I don't have the right words to articulate what I want to say. So in order not for me to, let me not spoil it, so let me just leave it. But as I said, the further you go in God, right, the more you have to hold on. Yes, because it's easy to just, you know, you get to a point, it's easy to just feel, I've tried, right? Maybe because of let me rest. You know, just gradually slow down. You just feed. Doesn't really matter. The person does not know that they're already settling. It's all by the grace of God. So, but it's just remembering those truths, right? Remembering those truths. Because I said, I heard the story. You know, was that 2 days ago? Yesterday, I can't remember. Of, you know, a pastor, his family, his wife, they were really struggling, right? And this man had gotten to the age of 50 and fervently serving the Lord, right? You know, he was asking, like, is this how? You know, you begin to ask some certain questions that you never thought that one day, you understand, that you ask. Is this how God was those that truly follow Him? They were, you understand, struggled. So, but he said, well, I will continue to follow Jesus, right? There's no other. Even his wives, you know. So, a time came when he was now in his 50s. He helped some people do some, I think somebody overseas to do some business, right? I think, you know, they were building their house. So he helped them in terms of, he was the man on ground here, right? So he was helping them with their funny bills and all those things. So that kind of thing too, you'd be expecting some form of, you know, profit from such enterprise, isn't it? He said, the person that was narrating the story said, when the person came from, I think it was in the US, so what they brought for him was a box of chocolate. And singlet.
Oh my gosh, no.
He that kind of thing. It was But you know what? I think he said that the house they were built, he didn't know that it was for him. I think that was it. Do you understand? And the furniture and everything.
Wait, can you repeat that again? You said what?
I can't remember the story, but I think he didn't know that the house that they were working on, do you understand? It was for him. You understand? The house they were building was for him. Those furniture he bought and they brought back chocolate. They are actually for him. You understand? So,
yeah.
So when that happened, and then I think he basically God now a turnaround that happened in his life. You understand? And that basically came into a phase of, you understand, provision, and you know, and of course, like I said, that house, everything was paid for, right? So no more house rent. Does that make sense? No more paying of house rent and all those things that he was struggling with. So why was this person sharing this story? That God is not unrighteous to what?
Forget
labor of love. You know, and your works towards his name. So it's just a consolation and an encouragement for us. And prayers that will internalize it, and it will be at the very forefront. David says, your word have I hidden in my heart, right? I may not sin against you. So no matter what it is, no matter what it is, our job is to what? Continue. Keep moving forward. Keep seeking him. Did you seek him today, right? Seek him tomorrow. Did you obey today? Obey tomorrow. Keep moving. All you had, keep praying. Did you pray yesterday? Pray today. You didn't hear anything today, right? Pray tomorrow. You didn't hear anything this week? Continue. You didn't hear anything this month? No problem, right? Continue. It's just having that understanding that there's no how, you know, this world, everything works with principles and laws, right? There's no how. Is there any how that you plant this water that it will not grow? Is it possible?
If you water it, it will grow.
It must grow, right?
Mm-hmm.
It might not grow when you want it to grow. Maybe I want it to grow.
Yeah.
But it will grow in its due season, in its kairos season. Does that make sense? There's always a time.
Yeah.
Kairos, which is the due time. So, I'm always reminded about that scripture. Keep sowing. Keep sowing. There's a place in Ecclesiastes. He says that when the cloud, let me get it. I think it's Ecclesiastes 11.
Excuse me.
You get it. Ecclesiastes 11. Verse 3, yes. Verse 3 says, if the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. Does that make sense? So there is a time that the cloud will be full. And when it is full, it can't take anymore. What happens? Mm-hmm. There has to be what? An outpour. There has to be rain. So there is a time that you're sowing.
Mm-hmm.
Will reach the point where it's meant to reach. And the only thing that can come out from it is what? A harvest. That's the only thing. Both good and bad, right? In this case, we're talking about positive.
Good. Yes.
So he's always having that. God is not mocked. God is not mocked. He says, bearing doing good for in due season, in the Kairos moment, in due time, in due season, you shall what? Reap the harvest. If you don't give up. So I'll end with that. So may the Lord help us. I don't know if you have anything else to.
I remember, I think somewhere last year, right? And I actually asked God that question. I said, if you're not going to help me, let me know so I can go somewhere else.
Oh, wow.
Yes, I actually did. Because, and you know, I mentioned to you that, I think it was around last year, that I wanted to go to a Sangoma, right? I ended up not going. Because I know what the kind of person I am. I'm too scared to withstand things like that. So I ended up not going. But yeah, I did ask God, you know, that kind of question. So I guess, I mean, with us reading the scripture here, as hard as it is, it's also like a reassurance to me that, you know, to... You said the only way not to fall away is to continue in Him.
Yes, the only way to remain.
Remain.
Is to continue in Him.
Yeah. We thank God.
No situation should ever make us seek the devil. For what we are meant from God.
Yeah.
Yes. You understand?
So, I mean, I was never gonna go. It was just like, it was more like a thought. I was like, I mean, if you're not gonna help me, just let me know. Let me know. The audacity. The audacity to ask God if He's not gonna help you. Wow.
If God can't help you, nobody can help you.
Exactly.
Nobody.
But then here I am, I was like, God, I've been doing this for a while. So if you're not gonna help me, you know, just let me know. But yeah.
Thank God for His mercy.
Yes.
That's it. So I want us to just praise, just ask the Lord, and just first of all, we thank the Lord for His word through the scripture, consolation and encouragement. Like scripture says, for everything under the earth, there is a time and season. The most important thing is, in the time of sowing, make sure you sow. Right? Make sure you sow in the right. For if you do your part, if you do that, you will definitely harvest when harvest comes. But there is a time of harvest. So, just like ultimately, people end up in either heaven or hell, right? Based on their sowing on this earth, isn't it? Based on the where they sowed. Either they sowed in Christ, right? Or they sowed in the flesh or in the world. So, first of all, let's just thank God for His word. As we thank God, we also ask the Lord, and we thank Him for this encouragement and this consolation. And therefore, we also ask the Lord the grace to continue in Him every single day, till our last breath, till the day we see Him. Yes, today we stand before Him, and we will continue in Him in faith, with diligence, with passion, with faithfulness unto Him, that He should help us. Because as we have seen, it's not, and as the scripture says, that it's not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Thank the Lord for the word and for the encouragement, and then ask Him to really help us. He should help us. He should help our brethren to help us to continue, to progress, to mature, to continue in Him, and then to lay hold of that hope, that unshakable hope that has even entered behind the veil to where Jesus is. That hope that is rooted, that blessed hope, so that we do not fall short of the grace of God, so that we do not, nothing, no situation can ever be hopeless, because even if it looks hopeless, the Lord is my hope. Therefore, there is hope. Yes. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When I remember that Jesus is the way, that means even in a situation where there is no way, Jesus can become the way in that situation. The same way in a situation where there is no hope, the Lord Himself becomes our hope. It says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. Say, shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which takes its root by the rivers. Says, its leaves shall always be green. It shall not fear when the heat comes. That is, when trials come, when tribulation, shall not fear. Neither shall it be anxious in the time of drought, but shall continue to yield fruit. That's a man, you know, that has taken root in God, whose hope is the Lord. Not just that the Lord has given him hope, He has made the Lord his hope. Let that be our portion in the name of Jesus. I will come to that point, oh God, that you help us, that you will not just receive hope from you, but you. You become our hope. Yes. That no situation, no circumstance, no time in our life shall we ever find ourselves to utter such words as, oh, there is no hope. God forbid. That our confession be, the Lord is my hope. Yes. Oh Jesus, that unshakable hope, let it be entrenched, internalized, and deeply fixed and established in our souls, in our heart, in our minds, in the very core of our beings. In the name of Jesus, help us, Lord. Help our families, help our brethren who are not here. Help your people, Lord God Almighty. Thank you, Jesus. Presco feni no shadu kusaligo velambras kapatilebe kumbredile. Help us, O God, that we stand strong in you. and we always remember these truths, that God, that you, oh God, you are not unrighteous, you are not unjust to forget, but you are faithful, and that you are a rewarder of them that diligently seek you. For God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he shall reap. Therefore, we shall not be weary in doing good. For in due season, we shall reap, and we will reap the harvest. Because we will not give up. Help us, Jesus. Strengthen us. Galvanize us. Quicken us. Uphold us. Let it all be to the glory of your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your light. Thank you for your encouragement. Thank you for your consolation. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.
Amen. Amen.